I do understand the idea of church and gathering together, and it's coming together to worship together, to commune together, to worship and to commune with God, right? And this is the idea of coming together. Such a great time, and so thanks for being here. And I know that some, like Steve just prayed, it was like we all have problems, right? We all have problems. That's called life. We all have things that are going on, and I know the temptation, even for your pastor, is to sleep in on Sundays. Like it's like I just don't feel like going to church today. Sometimes it wasn't like that for me today, but I'm human, and it happens. And just like, oh, I just feel like staying home. And I'm thankful that you're here today. I'm thankful you're here because I know what, for those of you who come regularly or here most every Sunday, it's like sometimes you don't feel like coming, but then when you're here, you're like, that's why I need to be here, because you just get recharged for the week. You just kind of get recharged. And we can recharge at home, yes. We can recharge by watching the sermon or the service online, or somebody way better than me at preaching. There's a 500 dozen greater preachers than I am online. But coming together, and there's something about it. There's something about coming together. I just saw this statistic the other day that regular church attendance means 1.7 times a month. That's the new latest. Like that's called like people are calling themselves regular church attenders. That's like 1.7 times a month. Now, how do you come to church 0.7 times? Well, ask a mathematician. But you see what I'm saying? So let's round it up for fun. So regular church attendance means two times a month. And so I'm thankful you're here. I'm thankful you're here because I hope that you're not that 1.7. And you're just kind of checking a box, but we're here together. We're here to take time with God, to spend time with Him, and to spend time with others, encouraging each other. And I want to encourage you to do that as we think about as we're going into Ephesians chapter 3 this week. There's some things about the church in which God is sharing through Paul, the writer of Ephesians. And as we see this book we're going through this entire summer. Well, we'll see what happens. Not an entire summer, but we may get into some thick stuff here in the next few weeks. So I may have to slow her down a little bit. But at this point, we're going through one chapter a Sunday, and so in Ephesians, the kind of the idea, the general thing is like chosen, called, and equipped. Like Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, his church plant, chosen, called, and equipped. And so we're still kind of in that chosen stage where he's talking to the church. He's talking about certain things, but he's kind of moving into this calling thing. Like we're chosen by God, and yet we're called. And so two different things. Chosen means that you're God's people. God has ordained you to be here for such a time as this. But called is saying there's a specific purpose that you have in the kingdom of God. There's a specific purpose, and we're kind of jumping into that called in chapter 3, that idea that you are called by God, we are called by God for a specific reason, for a specific person or purpose. And so as we think of church attendance, as we think of the 1.7% or 1.7 times, I'm sorry, of a regular church attender, we're more than just chosen people to attend a church, okay? It's more than that, just to come and attend a church. It's more than that, and so let's jump into it. If you want to turn to chapter 3 of Ephesians, we'll have it on the screen as well. But like I said, we're going to be reading the entire book of Ephesians this in this series. So for those of you kids, teenagers, who have never said that you've read an entire book of the Bible, well, we're going to read it. We're going to read it. And so it may be boring. It may be boring just reading all of these verses, but we're going to read it publicly during this whole summer. So we're in chapter 3. Paul says, "When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. And though I'm at least the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone that this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Let's stop there for a minute. And so as Paul is writing to the Ephesians, it kind of sounds like a little bit of what he's talking about before. Like, guess what? God has given me this plan. God has given us the idea, the plan of God is that it's the good news is for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And so if you don't understand what that means, if you're a Jew, you're a Jew, and everybody else is a Gentile. So that's us. We're Gentiles. And so back in the day, it was like, no, God's holy chosen people were the only ones that were fit to receive the good news, the only ones that were they're righteous enough. And then God said, listen, no, my good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, salvation is for all. Salvation is for everyone. And that's a beautiful thing. And I love how Paul describes himself in the fact that that's like he's the guy for the job. Like he was the guy that God had given the assignment to the Gentiles. And so he, can you imagine? Like he's the new guy in town, spreading this quote unquote heresy in front of all of these people. Wait a minute. No. This thing, this Christianity thing, if you will, is for the Jews only. But Paul says, no. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And so the plan of God is to include everyone in his kingdom. God's plan for Christ's followers is to be all-inclusive, meaning that those people outside of the fold of Judaism are also welcome in. And so what this is doing, you guys have to understand, this is just blowing the minds of people. Like this is new stuff. This is new stuff. And so Paul is the one who is given the assignment. He's taking this good news and says, everyone is welcome to the party. You ever been not invited to a party that everybody else is at? Like you're here and some friends of yours are like, oh, wait, what? They just had a party? Or why didn't I get invited? You ever hear of FOMO? No, I just didn't say a bad word. FOMO, fear of missing out. That's a thing these kids are saying these days. I don't know. FOMO, it's a fear of missing out. We have that. Like when somebody else is going to do something or having a party or whatever, it's you just have that fear. I'm missing out on something. You see, we're all invited to the party. We're all invited. God's plan is that both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. So Paul's explaining this. It was widely believed, obviously, that like Gentiles were the outsiders. They were the people that were the weirdos. They didn't belong in the temple. They didn't belong in the church. Those were the Gentiles were the people that were the sinners, the different people. You get my point. And so, man, that sounds vaguely familiar today. Because the church sometimes, we as Christians, we puff ourselves up and we simply say, oh, we're going to build a nice building, and we're gonna have a really, really nice chairs, and we're going to do the things that we do. We're going to talk the way we talk. We're going to use words that only we know. We're going to be pious and upright and self-righteous. And this is for us. The good news is for us, not them. Not those outsiders, not those people who the Gentiles. And so I'm showing us that in this Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's simply saying, no, the good news is for everybody. And so for us, as we kind of apply that, we look at that and say, the good news isn't just for us good middle class white people who've got it all together. No, no. The good news of Jesus Christ is for everyone. The unchurched, those people who don't act like Christians. You know, it really does. I've told you stories after story, and it really bothers me, if I'm honest, you guys, it bothers me that you all are too good and perfect looking. It really bothers me. Because what we do is we have this facade that when you come to Dighton Church is that you got to wear your Sunday best. I hate Sunday best. That's garbage. See, there's this facade that when you come to churches that you got to clean up before you come. When you come to church that you have to be better than everybody else, or at least pretend to be better than everybody else. Well, I think Pastor Steve said it best this morning. We all have problems. Some of you just aren't willing to admit it. Some of you aren't just willing to show it. You know what? We're all a mess. What do I say around here? It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. And when Paul is writing the Ephesians, he's simply saying, listen, it's my job. God has given me this job to let you know that everybody is invited to the party. Everybody can receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And I don't like the fact that when a church, not just Dighton Church, but sometimes the American church has come and we've come together and said, ah, man, if somebody comes in messy, or some comes in with addictions, or someone comes in with sin, and they come to our sanctuary, we all look weird, and we look at them funny, and it's like, ugh, they don't belong here. And they know it too. And so as a church, I want to change that paradigm. I want to change that paradigm. I want to shift it. I want to shift it to where it's okay to be here in this church. It's okay to be a part of this church and be messy. Is that okay with you? Shake your heads yes. Because it's okay with me. And I want to be a church that welcomes everyone, that includes everyone. See, every church needs to realize that everyone is a potential follower of Jesus Christ in our community. See, God's church is not exclusive, it's inclusive. Now, I'm not saying that we say that, oh, your sin is okay. Somebody's going to come to me and write me an email and say, Pastor, you said that everybody's sin is okay. I didn't say that. I'm saying we're inclusive. We love the sinner. We love people. We don't love their sin. We don't say your sin is okay, but we love people and we want to welcome them in. So why do you think people come to our church maybe and feel judged or feel condemned? I mean, why is it that you think that we don't see people who on the outside look messy or on the outside just wear their heart on their sleeves, so to speak? I wonder why. So maybe we as Christians need to do a better job. Maybe we as Christians need to realize that this church is not just for us. Like this is not your church. If we can get a hold of that statement, that this is not my church. This is not my church. This is God's church. And whatever God decides to do with this church, whoever God decides to bring in this church, whatever God decides for us to go out and reach, whatever it is, it's God's church. We'll do whatever. So I like the idea that we are used as instruments of his, right? In the hands of the craftsman. When you yourself, you think about it, like if you think that your position here in the church is an instrument used by God to be used wherever, however, and on whoever. This doesn't become your church anymore. This just, you're just a person, you're an instrument in the tool shed, right? You're just a tool in the tool shed. And so I can keep going. You get my point, right? I think you get my point. This is just a big old toolbox, tool shed. For when God has a job to do, he comes in and says, who is the willing instrument and who's the willing tool that I can use for such a time as this? Because the gospel is for everyone. And so we think about that. The Apostle Paul, he simply said, you know, he said this. He even felt in and of himself, I am less, this is verse 8, I am less than the least of all God's people, yet God gave me the privilege of taking to the Gentiles the good news about the infinite riches of Christ. And so he wasn't, he himself didn't find himself as a person that was the person for the job. He was a little, you know, self-conscious. He didn't have any self-confidence in what God had for him, but God let him know that he was the person for the job. And we too, as church members, as Christians, as Dighton Wesleyan Church, we are to have that confidence that we can take the good news to people. Louis Pasteur, the pioneer of immunology, he lived at a time when thousands of people died each year of rabies. Pasteur had worked for years on a vaccine. Just as he was about to begin experimenting on himself, a 9-year-old boy, Joseph Meister, was bitten by a rabid dog. The boy's mother begged Pasteur to experiment on her son, and Pasteur injected Joseph for 10 days, and the boy lived. Decades later, of all things Pasteur could have had etched on his own headstone when he died, he asked for 3 words, Joseph Meister lived. So this scientist, the famous scientist, he had one claim to fame, so to speak. He saved one life. He saved one life through his work. See, our greatest legacy will be those who live eternally because of our efforts. If you think about it, I mean, the biggest thing you'll ever do in your life, except next to deciding to make your own faith commitment to Jesus, but the biggest thing is to leave this building and go to the unchurched and tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. One person, Joseph Meister, his life was changed. One person. And so how about you? I mean, think about it. Do you have one person in your life that you can simply say, I took from the pit of hell and I ushered them, I brought them into and showed them Jesus Christ? I mean, can you imagine the legacy that you would have to that one person? And so as you think about it for yourself, the greatest thing you could do for the kingdom of God is to pass on the good news to somebody who needs the love, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin. So the idea in chapter 3, Paul's simply saying, listen, everybody's invited to the party, that Jews and Gentiles, the chosen ones and the outcast, God has decided to say they're all welcome. And it is our job to remember that. And so Paul continues on in 13 through 21. Let me read. So please don't lose heart because my trial's here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love as you and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so Paul, at this point, has gotten to the point of his letter to the church to say that this is a fundamental question. If you don't know the love of God, then the rest of this letter won't make any sense. See, it's all about understanding the love of God. Do you know the love of God? Have you experienced the love of God? Knowing God's love empowers us to be the church. Let me read that again, verse 17 and 18. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. This is that point where we, you know how you say when you're a kid or when you're trying to share with somebody, invite Jesus into your heart. Invite Jesus into your heart. This is where it comes from. Verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand that as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And so there's something here that knowing how deep and loving God is that makes you want to share it with somebody else. I mean, think about it. The love of God on the planet of today should be carried from us, the church, to other people. How can we feed the hungry without knowing the love of God? How can we clothe the poor without knowing God's love for them? How can we worship God without knowing his love? How can we truly share in fellowship with one another without knowing God's love? How can we share with a lost and dying world the good news of Jesus without knowing the love of God of ourselves? So knowing God's love empowers us to live holy lives. So understanding that when we know who God is, when we know the love of God, and let me say it maybe differently, when you understand how much God has forgiven you because he loved you so much, that's when you'll want to share it with somebody else. when you know how much God loves you, that's when you'll want to share it with somebody else who is desperate, who is dying, who is lost, who's in need, when you know that. And so Paul concludes this dedication section with a prayer as the band comes up. I want us to pray this prayer together. Some of the most profound words, I think, written in Scripture. This is kind of a benedictory prayer, and I want us to share this together. I'll have it on the screen. Verse 20 and 21. If you can read it, let's read this out loud, shall we? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a great prayer. So he simply says, he's able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. According to his power that is work within who? Us. His power is working within us to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. So church, as we read chapter 3 today, the call is simple, the call is easy, the call is right there for us to say that the word of God, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people. And our job is to share it with them. So as a church, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? We're coming together. I so appreciate coming together. But if this is all we're doing, we need to be going out and reaching people for Jesus Christ. We need to be going out and telling people every day at your workplace. When you're at work, I mean, you have to be in the mindset of God's love. God's love, God's love. You have to have that mindset. Yeah, think about work so you don't get hurt, so you don't mess up, so you don't get fired. You got to think about work, but I want you to be thinking and focused in, what does my coworker need today? How can I show Jesus to them today? Don't let Satan take that away from you. What a privilege you have. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand together and let's worship.